We were waiting especially for you. Okay, my website is pgrosa.net, and so you might as well go there. I do not use the e-learning. I predate e-learning, so I have my own website. There is no login, no password, or anything like that. So just go to pgrosa.net. You are being recorded because I record all the classes, and I put the recordings up, and so the recording for this class will go up either tonight or tomorrow, so that anybody that's not here can listen to the recording and find out what went on in class. I also will capture the SmartBoard notes. I do them separately because people tend to use the SmartBoard notes a lot and probably only listen to the lecture once. So I don't do them in combination. So there's a little bit of a trying to figure out when I have moved to the next slide in the SmartBoards. But you'll get used to it after a while and be able to follow it. Okay? So this class has, I think, 20 people in it. And as you can look around and see, there's not 20 people here. So most of them are probably taking the class online. And
Seven.
Oh. You're not counting yourself.
No, I actually didn't recognize him over in the corner.
Okay.
Obstructing my
feet. So there, as I said, there are 20 people taking the class, and so that's why I record the class and why I capture the notes and all of that, is because there are a lot of people that are not here but are still taking the class. Okay? So, if you go to my website, this is 159, okay? And what we're going to look at first is kind of the way the course works, okay? I'm probably about more than half of you I've hit before. Okay, so first, when you go in, you click on CIS 159, and that brings up the course. The week is put here. This can change during the course of the week. This is what I usually put up Sunday night or sometimes Sunday. It can change during the course of the week as I, you know, especially after the Tuesday class, I may decide that I want to do something else for Thursday or may change, add something, subtract something. So it should be checked multiple times a week. At the bottom of this, the word assignments, these are your assignments, okay? Assignments are due the Thursday after the week they were assigned. So anything that is assigned this week is due next Thursday. Okay, so it's everything is due the Thursday after the week I assign it. Okay, so that gives you about a week to do it. I will keep these up. I don't take them down. So week one, when I put up week two, I don't take week one down. So at the end of the semester, all of the weeks should be there. I accept late homework. I try to get homework back within a week, but I don't always succeed. So we have a deal. I will take your work late. You have to take mine late. Okay, so I will occasionally return things late. I will accept things late. However, part of your grade is being responsible. So if you're chronically late on everything, you will end up losing points. Okay? Everybody's occasionally late. But try to get in on time. Falling behind and not getting work in is the worst way of taking the course and the way that the people who do not pass the course tended to handle the material. So please try to get things in relatively on time. Okay. The syllabus is over here. There is no required book for this course because there's plenty of material on the web. But if you're interested in a book, those are two books that I think are pretty good. So you can get those two. This is a course in PHP, which is basically a server-side language. Okay, so HTML and JavaScript tend to be more non-server oriented. They tend to be more local. And when you want to access databases that are out on the server and everything like that, PHP is one of the most widely used languages for that. Okay, so it allows you access to a database. It allows you to manipulate that database. It allows you to have things out there that the user can't see. So, for example, if I want to have a password, I can set up a password in PHP such that when you click on View Source, you don't see what the password is. Okay, if you set it up in HTML and JavaScript, you're going to see what the password is. If you set it up in PHP, PHP sends down to the browser what it should display. It doesn't send your code. It sends, after it has manipulated your code, it sends down to the browser what it wants to see on the browser. Okay? So, the grading is 80% of your grade is the work you do. 80% of your grade is the homework that you do. And any quizzes, although quizzes that are always take-home quizzes. So code, quizzes, programs, everything like that counts 80% of your work. 10% is responsibility. Keeping up to date, getting the work in relatively on time, and all of that. Okay, so you can lose points in there. And 10% is the final. Finals, quizzes, tests, anything like that are all take-home. Okay, so I'm making the assumption that I will never see some of the 20 people in this class. And so everything is done online. And it wouldn't be fair to give an in-class quiz to you guys and then let other people have a take-home quiz. So everything is take-home. Quizzes, tests, final is the take-home that you will have a week to do at the end of the semester. So everything is take-home. Every year I say less. Because what? I'm into 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and I think I've covered everything. So let's take one more look. Over here I have the audio, and that's where I will put up the audio that I'm doing. And I keep previous semesters. And probably I keep far too many previous semesters because I'm just lazy about taking them down. But I keep previous semesters, so in case I'm out, the one from last year is going to be similar to what I do this year, so you can get caught up on that. So those are the audio lectures, and spring 2019 was the last time this was taught. So I will start tonight or tomorrow and put up spring 2020. Okay? And the smart board are over here and those accompanying it. Okay? So I will put up the accompanying smart board when I take pictures of the screen, which I should do now. Okay, PHP coding examples, that's where all of the examples lie. And I will tell you which examples to use to some degree, but the coding examples are up there. And when we get to MySQL, those are the notes and examples as well. So if you go to those notes and examples, that will show you the PHP that I'm covering. And that's what we'll mainly do in class, is cover examples. Okay, we'll look at examples, because I think the best way to learn is to see examples and then do your own examples. Okay? I give a lot of homework, but it's not busy work. It is really just doing what we're learning. Most people are not smart enough to learn to program without actually programming. Okay, so I want you to program and do the things that we're learning so that you have your practical examples of them. So, if you click in here, you'll see most of the things that we're going to be doing. Have you received your passwords? Okay, so you can get into PHP. You can get into the server. Yeah.
Will it be the same as last night's
work now? I think they gave you a different one.
They sent out emails like less than a week ago.
Right, I know. Eric sent me one and said that he was sending them out. So everybody should have gotten a password from IT that will let you get into the CIS web server, okay, which is where the work will be done, is in CIS web. Okay. PHP is available, so we're going to log into PHP. When we log into PHP, you can do your work that way through the server. PHP can be downloaded, but I haven't done that in years because it's just so convenient to work through CIS web and through the server. So I don't even bother anymore. But you can download PHP if you want to. Okay. Now, PHP is usually embedded in HTML. So my first question is, how many of you know HTML? Okay, how many of you don't know HTML? Okay. You get to be the only one, lucky you. You're going to have a busy weekend this weekend. Okay, so PHP is essentially embedded into HTML. And I wrote up here, here's an example, and we're going to take a look at that example. If you haven't taken CIS 120, you can go to my CIS 120 site, which you get to the same way. You just click on 120 instead of 159. And they will be examples of HTML and CSS there. So those are probably good. If you know the basic fundamentals, you'll be fine. So I would spend a little time on that. A great reference is W3 Schools. And that gives you an awful lot of the information you might want to know about HTML. Okay, so those are kind of the review. So, those of you who know HTML can choose to be bored for a few minutes because I'm going to go over some of the beginning parts of it. So, if you click on the HTML5 example.html, okay, that's a very basic page that kind of goes into some of what I need you to know. When you get to the page, if you right-click and do View Page Source, and I'm working in Firefox because I happen to like Firefox, it probably says something slightly different in other... Okay, who's got Chrome up and what does it say?
I do, and it just says View Page Source.
So it says View Page Source also, okay. So View Page Source or something similar to that shows you the code that you have. Okay? I prefer Firefox to Chrome, so that's what I tend to use. A lot of people prefer Chrome. It's up to you. Okay, so when I start to write HTML, I go into Notepad and I write my HTML in either Notepad or Notepad++. If you're using a Mac, then you go in and use whatever text editor is available there. But you write in a text editor, okay? You don't write in Microsoft because Microsoft tends to be helpful to you and put in things you don't want there. Okay, so you write in the text editor. So the first line that you put, and these are called tags, has a less than and greater than sign, and inside it, it has an explanation, doc type HTML. And that tells the browser to use the latest version of HTML. Okay. Then the next tag says HTML. This is what I'm writing. Notice that down at the bottom you have a close HTML, which is exactly the same, except it has a slash before the H. So the open is just HTML, the close is got the slash HTML within the less than and greater signs. So it makes it a tag. Okay, then I go down and my code has two parts, the head and the body. And the head is more where I tell about what's happening, and the body is where I put the actual things that are going to show on the page. So in the head on this one, I have the fact that I'm meta character set UTF-8. That's not a requirement, but if you don't have it there, then you will not validate when you go to validate the code, which is not critical. Probably a very large percentage of the code out on the internet does not validate. Okay? They're written by amateurs and they're not going to validate. The next line has a tag that says title. And the title is web using an audit list, and there is where the title goes, up there on one of the tabs. And then at the end of title, I close title. Now on that one, I purposely did it all on one line, so that I showed you I have the tag, I write for what I want the tag to be, and then I close the tag. Tag in that case is title. Okay? The next thing I'm doing is CSS. Okay? So CSS is style. And I'm going to skip that for a minute and come back to it after I've looked at the body. But I have a style in here which tells me the colors that I want to use and that kind of thing. Okay, then I close the head, because the head, again, is telling you about the page. And then I start the body. Okay, so on the body, I put what I want to show up on the page. And the first thing I put was an H1. Okay, an H1 is a header one. Okay, so there is the H1. If I look at it, the H1 is a header one. And it says, now we will generate a list using HTML5. And there's the header. Now, in the header, I wanted it to be centered. Ordinarily, when I write a header, it's not going to be centered unless I do something to make it centered. And that's where the style kicks in. So I said, here's my H1. And I would like the H1 to have a style of text-aligned center. and we'll talk about the specifics of how to do that in a minute. But essentially, notice there's an H1, and it says text-align center. So the style impacts what we do, which means the H1 will move into the middle. Is this making any sense, and you're the main one that...
Yeah,
okay. Tell me if it's not.
No problem.
Because, as I said, I think everybody else is all set. So there's the H1. Headers can be an H1 through an H6. H1 has the biggest font. H6 would have a little tiny font. And you can go with H1 through H6, okay, and get a variety of different headers. So the next one is an H2, and that's slightly smaller font. And notice I don't have any H2 up here, so it has not been aligned to the center. Okay, it's just the H2, and there's my H2 over there. The next thing that I put on there is I wanted to make a list. And so I put an OL. And an OL stands for ordered list. So I am making a list, and I want it to be an ordered list. And an ordered list means I want to see 1, 2, 3. Okay? So that's an ordered list. The items that I want to put in the list are in the LI tag. So the LI tag basically is saying this is a list item. So I open the OL, I open the LI, put the list, and close the LI. Then I do a second LI and close it. And a third LI and close it. That's the end of my list, so I close my OL. Okay. So that closes my OL, and I now have an ordered list out there. Okay. Then the next thing is I put in another H2. But this H2, I want it to be different. I want it to be over here, and you can see part of it. So I want it over here against the right wall. Okay, as opposed to over against the left. If I have a specific thing, like here I have an H2 that I don't want to impact, here I have an H2 that I do want to impact, I want to make different, I can set up what's called a class, which means I can set up style rules that will apply only to that H2. Are only lead to things that have that class. And I call the class header 2. So up here in the style, again, and we'll talk about the layout of the style in a minute, but up here I have dot header 2. So if it's a class, I put a dot in front of its name. And I say dot header 2. And then I tell it that what I want the header 2 to be is a line to the right and color of green. And so it pushes it over to the right and it gives it the color of green. Okay? And so there it is, over to the right, and it's got a color of green. And then I said, okay, now I want to make an unordered list. So the difference is an OL was an ordered list. A UL is an unordered list. So I put an unordered list there, and that means I get the dots. Now, if you get into HTML, there's ways you can change that so you can have squares or stars or whatever. But for now, we'll just stick with the dots. Okay? So the dots will come up, and I've got an LI
for each of the items in that list. Okay. Then when the list is done, I close the UL. Notice most things have an open and a close on them. Okay, and again, the web is incredibly forgiving if you make mistakes on these kinds of things, because essentially a lot of their people putting things up on the web are amateurs, and if you started being too picky, they would leave your browser and go to another browser that wasn't being picky. And so they are very forgiving. Okay, so down here I have a division. Okay, so a division is where I can break things down and put a group of things together if I want to. And I can also use a paragraph for that. So the difference is when you're writing, when somebody writes a book, if they put things into paragraphs, okay, if I put things into paragraphs, I will skip a line after the paragraph. If I don't want to skip a line after the paragraph, I call it a division. And then I don't skip the line after the paragraph. When it hits a division or a paragraph, it knows it should start a new line. So a division or a paragraph starts a new line. If it's a paragraph, at the end of the paragraph, it will skip a line and start another line, start a new line. If it's a division, it won't skip a line. It will just start another line. Okay. So this particular division, I wanted to have a class associated with it, and I called it larger. And that class, larger, I'm telling it I wanted to have a font size of 18, so I wanted to be bigger, and I wanted to have a color of brown. So it changed to a color of brown. Up until now, everything's been blue, except one thing over there that was green. Okay? The reason everything has been blue is that for the body, up here in the style, I said the background color should be that, which we can tell is a shade of yellow. And color navy means the font color. So the font color was navy. But then when I came down to the header 2, I said, for that one, I want to change the color to green. Now I'm saying I want to change the color to brown. Okay? So I'm changing the color. And I wrote a line, and then I put in a BR. And a BR is a break. And what that means, it's like hitting enter on your keyboard. It just moves down to another line. So whenever you hit BR, it moves down to another line. So I wrote, this is a division, and then I had a BR. So it moved out of the next line, and this is a break, followed by another sentence is on the next line. Okay? So I just moved down to the next line. Okay? At the end of the division, I then put in another division, but this division I didn't have the class larger on. So it's just a regular division. It's the regular division. Okay, then I have a paragraph that has a line skips around it. Then I put in another division, and again, I made it larger. And then I put in another division. But it didn't have a class. So I just was experimenting there with divisions. And then I have two links. And the way I do a link is I write A, hreference equals, and I put the link
the address that I want to go to. And in this case, I want to go to a home page, which is http://www.petegrosser.net, or to the Bristol home page. Notice I put the HTTP in front of it and go someplace. If the page that I wanted to go to was in the same directory as this page, then I can just write the page name and it will look in the directory that this page is in and find the page. Okay? You can always put in a relative address from where you are. Sometimes it's just easier to do what I did there, which is write the entire HTTP address, than figure out the relative address. Okay. That is an extremely quick summary of HTML. Okay. I'm going to go to the CSS now. But you're going to, for this tonight, this weekend, your homework assignment is basically to review HTML and make some kind of a page with HTML and CSS in it. And if you know HTML, I'm going to expect a lot better page than I'm from you. You get away with basics, nobody else does. Okay? So, put together some kind of an HTML page this weekend just to review HTML and CSS. Yeah.
Is there anything specific that you want on the page?
No.
Okay.
No. It's much harder to think of assignments when I want something specific. So I'd much rather leave it up to you to figure out the specifics. Okay. But I want you to, you know, do a variety of things and actually go back and review HTML. You know, and figure out how to do some stuff and make a decent looking page. Okay. So, now I get to the style. Originally, back in the good old days, the style was totally embedded down in the body. And so I would tell it what font I wanted, what alignment I wanted. It was decided that, in fact, it was getting too confusing to have them all mixed up together. So it was decided by the powers that be that they were going to separate the content, which is in the body, with how they want the content to look. And so they take and they put the style up here in the head, which removes it from the body. So I've got the word style, and then I tell it what it is type equals text CSS. So this style is CSS, which stands for cascading style sheets. Okay, so the style is using cascading style sheets. In fact, you don't need to enter that type equals because it will make the assumption that you're using CSS. But I think it's decent documentation to put it there. So I'm telling it the style, and then I just have a close here. Down at the bottom is the closed style, right before the closed head. And if there's one thing that the internet is going to be fussy about, the browsers are going to be fussy about, it's not closing the style. You can end up getting just nothing happening if you don't close the style. So be very careful that the style gets closed. It's one of the few things that can really mess you up. Okay. So then within the style, I pick the tag that I want to associate my style with. So I said body. That means I want to associate it with everything. And I said on the body, I put body out, and then I have a set of curly braces that encloses what I want the style to be. So the curly braces is enclosing the style. I have two things there, and I put a semicolon after each of them. So I start out and I say, first of all, I want the background color to be this. Okay? That is a hexadecimal representation of the color. if you go to W3 Schools and look up color, they will tell you the word and they will tell you the hexadecimal. And you can choose either one. So I just did one of each to show you the two different types. But I could have, let's say I wanted a background of beige, I could have written beige there. W3 Schools, again, if you look up color, will give you all the names of the popular colors. And I think that's, does anybody know, for some reason I'm thinking it's 160, but I may be totally wrong. But it's some ridiculous number. And somebody got paid good money to come up with Cornflower Blue and all the other titles that they've got out there to differentiate the different shades of blue and the different shades of yellow and all that sort of stuff. Okay, so nobody's going to... Red, orange, yellow, green, blue are fine. You can get those just by writing them. But if you want shades, then you can either go in and look for the shade you want and find what somebody has named it, or you can use the hexadecimal code, okay? And it will provide the hexadecimal code. So that's how I want the background color to be, and I want the default text to be navy. So that's navy, all of those are navy. The default text is going to be navy. If I want to change that, I have to be specific. Okay. So down here, my next piece of style is I wanted to style the H1, and I wanted to make it in the center. Text align is the way I tell it I want to be in the center. And again, if you go to W3 Schools and look up text align, it will tell you that you can have the word center there, or you can have the word right, or you can have the word left. And so it will give you your choices. So I said text align center. And then I had a couple of header twos, but there's only one of them I wanted to style. So in the one that I wanted to style, I set up the word class equals, and I gave it a name. Any name I wanted to give it. I called it header two. Okay, I gave it a name. Now up in the style, I can put that header two, but I have to tell it that it's a class, and putting the dot in front of it tells it that it's a class. Okay? If I didn't put the dot there, it would assume it was a tag. But it's not, it's a class, so I put the dot there and that tells it it's a class. And on the inside the curly braces, I said I wanted it to be aligned to the right, and I wanted it to be green. And so there it is, aligned to the right and green. And then I set up larger because I decided that some of my divisions I wanted to be larger. So I set up a class called larger. Dot larger is going to have a font size of 18 pt. Okay, and that's what we get you. And you can play around with different sizes. And I want it to be a color of brown. So all of these got changed to be a bigger font and a color of brown. Questions? So, I wrote this in Notepad. I save it with a .html extension. So this has a .html extension, and you can see it up here, a .html extension, okay? And then if I want to see it, I can save it. Right now we're not talking about the server. So right now I can save it on my disk, floppy, whatever. I can save it on my disk. And then I can open it in the browser by doing File Open and open it in the browser. And then I can see it. So I can save it with a .html extension
and then I can open it in my browser to see the results. Okay? And once I have it shown, if I want to see the code that I made, I do a view page source, and it shows me the code that I made. Okay?
And that probably is the main reason why I like Firefox, is it's easy to get a menu in Firefox. See the menu up here, file, edit, etc. If I set up a menu bar, Firefox, I can go in and set up the menu bar. And I just like having a menu bar. I like bars. Let me put that in. So that's my main reason for liking Firefox, is I have just a very easy So again, there's my page, and if I went in, if I save this, then I could open it. So it was saved as HTML5 example. If I save that on my hard drive, I can then go in and open it. If it's out on the server, then I have to go and put in the server address to open it. And we're going to look at the server shortly. Well, actually, there's the server address, so I actually should talk about that now. The server address is cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Okay? So this is the host. So if you're using a server, that's the host. You're using cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Okay? Then the next thing you put is that tilde. Okay, that's a tilde, and it's right over on the far left of your keyboard, right under the escape. So there is the tilde. So you put the tilde followed by your username. And your username includes two numbers at the end. Mine doesn't. But your username is put the next thing. Then I have it in a folder, so this is a folder. I don't have to use a folder or a directory. I don't have to use a folder, but I'm going to get pretty disorganized if I don't. So you set up a folder to hold the things in. And then this is the file name. That's the name of the file, which I call HTML5example.html. So that's the name of my file. So if I go to cisweb.bristolcc.edu, put in my username, I'm now in my area. In my area, there'll be a directory called cis159. And in that directory, there will be that particular file that I've just been working on. Okay. So this would be the address that I would give to be able to find this page. So if I come over here, and this is my home page, and I use frames even though they're strongly discouraged. So if I say this frame and then view frame source, if you look down, you can see the address where this page was. Okay.
So there's the address. So in my HTML page, I said https://cis/web/crystalseed and so forth all the way over. Then I said target top that I wanted it to be at the top of the page. And then I gave it the name that you see on the screen. I closed the A and closed the BR.
So that was the link that brought up that page. Okay, that was the link that brought up that page. And it was embedded in my HTML. Questions? Please ask if you have questions. Somebody else will appreciate it. Yeah.
I do have another question more for the homework. Do you want us just to submit like the HTML file as itself, or just like email it to you, or do you want
email it to me?
CIS web.
Email it to me, and it would be great if you put it up in the CIS web, and then you can send me the address. And as a matter of fact, probably you should just get used to that. All of the homework that you submit, you will have to send me an attachment of the code and an address where I can run the code. So you'll have to send me the address and the attachment. The address isn't good enough because, as I said, the browser only receives that which is sent down to it. So it doesn't receive your original code. Okay, your code is executed and what is to be sent to the browser is sent down to the browser. Okay, so I need both of them because I don't want to have to log in as you to find your code. That just takes too much time, especially with the IDs that you all have. So I want you to send me the code and the address where I can see what you wrote. Okay, the output. Okay. Also, if you need help, I'm going to be meeting with Joe Fletcher today, and he's my SI. And we're going to figure out the times and everything that he's available. If you have times that you would like him to be available, please send me a list of them. And that's the other thing I should have told you. Little by little, the problem comes out. My web address, my email is p.grosser@rcn.com. I will check the Bristol one for the first, well, I check it always, but I get a lot of junk on my Bristol account, okay? And I like to isolate the things that come from students from things that come for the rest of the world. And so that's my email address that I would like you to use to send me homework, ask questions, anything related, anything actually. But I have students go there as opposed to the BCC account because it's full of, and a lot of people around here when they send emails do it to everybody in the world. And so you get copies of emails that you really, really, really don't want. Okay, the next thing I want you to do is I want to log in to the server. So please find the login information that was sent to you that will let you log in to the server. So, once you have found your password and everything, we're using WinSCP.
Has everybody found their password? No, people are still looking, okay. Okay, so once you found it, you want to go to software, which is up there. Okay, or somewhere on your thing, you should see software. And if you don't see software, it probably means you log in without taking cable. So look around and see if you can find software. Did everybody find it all right? When you signed in, do you remember what you chose? Has anybody else not seen software?
You mean for the WinSCP?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's in a folder called software.
So you can search for it if you can't find it.
Right. It's in a folder called software. But you might as well, there are two logins to you can use. And the K one is the one you want. That it has the stuff you want. You that remember how, go ahead and log in.
Which password is it that we use again?
The one that they sent you, the Linux one.
The Linux one?
Is it coming up or never? That's right.
Yeah, if you log into the wrong one, it takes like a solid like 20 minutes to log in.
Oh, please don't tell us that. We've only got 20 minutes left in the class.
Yeah, we're not right.
I think mine's not working because I've used it at home and I've changed my password there more than changed the password.
That changed it. Year or two, I would think, didn't it?
Yeah, I tried every single password listed on that email, and then I also tried the one that I made at home. None of them worked, so.
Then you've got to go see the help desk.
Did you change it?
What's that?
When did you change them?
Sometime last semester.
Last plan?
They change them every semester, though.
Yeah, you should have got a new one.
Because mine aren't the same either.
Yeah, the emails from...
You got a new...
It's the same one.
You've got the same.
I might.
Okay.
Am I the same?
Supposedly you get a new password every semester.
Mine actually looks pretty similar to my last one, but I don't remember if I
have. Is yours the same or different?
Mine's like one letter different.
Same.
I'll
try my last one when I get home.
It's not that different.
Okay. Now, you cannot change your password because I need to be able to get to your site. So you gotta go and find it out and get it changed back so that I know your password. Because I want to be able to get to your site in case lots of times if you run into problems, you ask, what am I doing wrong? Well, if I can't get to your code, I can't tell you what you're doing wrong. Okay?
Oh, got it now.
Okay, good. Yeah. So I need to be able to get into your site. And so changing your password is no. Okay, so you're there now? So, okay, click on software. And then click on WinSCP. So you're clicking on software, and then you're clicking on WinSCP. Okay? And this comes up. Notice that it is cisweb.bristolcc.edu. In several of my handouts that I just haven't changed, it says bristol.mass, because that used to be the way it is. But now it's not bristol.mass, it's bristolcc. And they also changed the port number from 22 to 220. So those two things you need to note, okay? And then you can enter your username and password. And as I recall, they don't let you put anything in there, so you have to click on login, and that comes up and asks for your username. And so you put in your username there and click OK. And then click continue, and it comes up and asks for your password. So enter your Linux password and say OK, and it comes up with your stuff. Okay. And when yours comes up, it's pretty much got nothing in it. When mine comes up, it's got the world in it. Okay. So that, remember that example that I did a few minutes ago in HTML? Okay, I clicked on CIS-159 because I said that was the folder, and there's the example that I put up there. So the example is in the CIS-159 folder. Okay, and if I right-click on that, okay, there's the code that I wrote. Okay. Now, notice one thing. When I do the address, and I did the address for you before, notice that when I look at this code, I see the word home, I see public HTML. You don't use those, okay, in your address. The tilde takes care of it. So you put your host, the tilde, and your username, and then you go right to using the directory name or folder name and the file name.
Okay, so you do not include home and public HTML in your address. So your address would be for this one. Okay, so I will put in cisweb.bristolcc.edu/tildpgrosser/cis159/html5example.html, and there's the page. Okay, so if you put in that address, it should bring up the page. Okay, because it's located in CIS 159, and then the name of it is HTML5example.html. Okay, so that should bring up the address. Okay. I'm going to look at a few a PHP example. This is the first group of things that we're going to look at, where it says first group PHP revised, a few things have been added. If you click on that, that is going to give you a collection of PHP programs. You don't have to do that now, but you should do it at some point. Download those, get that zip file, and download them and put them up to your area. So you should put these, the things that are contained in here, you should put up into your website. Okay? So if you download them, they're going to be a set of programs, and they're in a zip file, firstgroup.php. So download those, unzip them, and then put them all up in your area. Actually, we might as well do that now. So go ahead, try that. Okay. So it gives you firstgroup.php.zip. Download it and unzip it. And then put them up into your area. I put them up into the PHP area that is your PHP.
You know,
we just logged into the server,
right?
Right. So that's your PHP area.
Okay.
I probably should put it
somewhere in that area on our side.
Just put it in there. If I were you, I'd make a folder called First Group, and I'd put them all in there.
Oh,
and then the next one
there, which drags everything else with it.
That's not public.
Yeah. You want to put it up so that you have access to
right.
it and you can run my examples.
Okay.
And so you can make a folder called examples and put them in there. But you want to be able to access and run my examples. Okay? If you're having problems, let me know. I'll grab the person next to you. So I made a folder. If you look at my folders, I have CIS 159, and then I have AAA examples, and then I made subfolders underneath it for all of the different groups that I have. Okay? And I call things AAA examples because then I'm into the top of my directory list. So here is my first group.php. So I put it up there. And if I click on first group.php, I have a whole lot of PHP programs there. And you should basically be having the same ones if you download the first group and put them up. Hopefully they're the same. If anybody's having problems, I'm going to be around from 2 to 4 today. Either in my office or there'll be a note on my door. My office is K-112. And I'm done with classes around 1:45, and I'll be here until 4. So if anybody has questions, that's how you can find me.
Is there a class in between this and your 12:30?
Yes, I have 3 classes back to back.
Okay.
So.
I'm not in that one. I'm in the 12:30 one.
No, it's 1:20 is next, and then 1:56.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you get into yours, and if not, try to get there by next time. If I click on Hello Name and look at it, okay? Actually, I probably should have done Hello World. Hello World is even simpler. Everything should always start out with Hello World, right? Okay, so there's my Hello World. And if I want to see the results of this, I can bring up Firefox, and I can put the address for this in, which is cisweb.bristol.cc.edu/tilde my username CIS 159. For me, it's AAA examples. Did I spell that right? Yes. And then first group PHP. And then the name of this is helloworld.php. And there's the results. Okay. So I went in, and you can see the HTML that I'm embedding in. So I've got doctype, HTML, head, and I put in all of that sort of stuff, the meta tag and the title. I didn't put any style in this one. I closed head, then I opened body. And in open body, the first thing I did was H2, which wrote out Hello World in HTML. Then I decided I wanted to go into PHP. And I tell the browser that with the less than question mark PHP. That tells the browser that I'm now switching into PHP. Remember back in HTML you had to tell it when you switched into JavaScript. Well, you have to tell it when you're switching into PHP. So that tells it that I'm switching into PHP. The echo command puts things up on the screen. So all I did was say echo, in quotes,
hello world in PHP with a semicolon at the end, because I put semicolons after my PHP commands. Then I close the PHP, close the HTML body, and close the HTML. Okay, so that is a very simple example of PHP embedded in HTML. Questions?
So, echoes are kind of like document writes in JavaScript.
Yeah, it's like a print. Actually, we have a print we can use as well. So there's echo and there's print, and it's like a, it's like whatever you do to put something up on the screen. Okay? So echo out on the screen, and I'm saying echo in quotes, the literal, so I'm echoing a literal, hello world. Not quite. Almost. Oh, okay. Delta class isn't quite done.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I didn't realize we were talking today.
Okay, so that's your basics. What you do is you can write HTML, embed PHP, just like you would embed JavaScript or something else in it. And then when you're done with the PHP, it's question mark close with the greater than sign there, and that tells you that the PHP. Okay, that is time. It will help you if you try, and if you don't have, if you have a problem, let me know. But if you try to put those first groups up on your site, because those are the things that we're going to look at next time. And it's nice if you can test them along with me. Okay, so having them up there is a good plan. Alrighty, we're done.